Welcome to Christ Church. The following is a homily from our Sunday morning gathering in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Enjoy.
Good morning. My name is Bishop Polson, and it is a real delight to be back here with you all here at Christ Church. It's always a joy to be here. Congregational vitality is one of my main areas of focus, and this is one of our most vital congregations in the Diocese of Oklahoma, and so it gives my heart joy to be with you all again. And I'm grateful to your clergy leadership, to Father Everett, to Justin, to Deacon Bill, for the warm welcome and for all that you all do, which is a great, great deal. And I extend my thanks also to all of the lay leadership and to all of you here for all that you do to follow the gospel in this place. I want to talk a little bit about our readings today. And I want to start this way. Question for you. Do any of you have a recurring anxiety dream? Anybody? Oh, I have several. I have several. The fact that I have several probably says something about me, I'm guessing. I have several anxiety dreams. One of my anxiety dreams that I've had for many, many years was that it was almost time to graduate from college, and all of a sudden I realized that I have not completed all the courses I needed. So that's one of them. I have had another one pretty regularly, which is that it's opening night of a play. Oh, you've had that one? Justin's had that one. Opening night of a play. And, of course, I realize I don't know my lines for the play. Lately, though, I have to tell you, since I've been bishop, I've been having a different one of these dreams. And this one is that I'm at the end, I'm about to enter into a very long procession. And it's at like a huge church, a cathedral, like a Canterbury Cathedral, gigantic place. And I'm trying to get ready to get into the long procession that's coming in to the church at the start of the service, and I can't find my vestments. That's the most recent one. See, I know this is real life and not a dream because I have my vestments. So what do all of these anxiety dreams have in common? What they all have in common is that they are dreams about being unprepared. Being unprepared. And I was thinking about that because all of our scripture readings today are about preparation. And in this way, they are just beginning, if you were listening this morning, just beginning to anticipate Advent, which is still about 3 weeks out, but coming up quickly. Because one of the most important themes in Advent, which these readings begin to highlight, is that Advent is about preparation. Preparation for the celebration of the birth of Christ at Christmas, of course, but also preparation for the second coming of Christ at the end of all things. And so today, our readings really are about the second coming in one way or another. Our gospel reading today from Matthew's gospel, that story of the 10 bridesmaids, the wise ones, half of them, who took oil with them, and then the foolish ones who didn't. And then the bridegroom comes, and those who are unprepared are shut out of the banquet because they're trying to scramble and find oil. They were unprepared. And so it's a gospel reading about being awake, being ready for the return of Jesus. Our epistle reading from 1 Thessalonians. This is one of the very earliest books, probably the earliest, in the whole New Testament. And this passage today, again, is about the second coming. It's about the great cry and God's trumpet, Jesus descending from heaven, the dead being raised, the living being caught up with Jesus in the clouds. And it's clear from this reading in 1 Thessalonians that they expected it to happen really soon. And then even our reading from Amos, our very first reading today from the Old Testament, is often interpreted as also about the second coming, talking about that difficult and trying day of the Lord, a time of sorting. So what are we to make of all of this? You know, when we spend time with the Bible, our tendency is very often to read every passage as being about individuals, about individual people, about us. But we remember, I think, today that Christianity is a team sport. To me, these are readings mostly today not about individual Christians and our individual Christian lives primarily, but about the church. The bridesmaids in the gospel today are the church. Now, it's interesting that these 10 bridesmaids all looked the same. They were dressed the same. They all had lamps. But only half of them had the oil that they would need. In the same way, different congregations often look very similar. But not all congregations prepare us to be disciples of Jesus. Now, I want to suggest this morning that there is a connection between discipleship and how we view the second coming of Jesus when he comes to judge the living and the dead and to raise the dead at the end of time. Now, you may have noticed there are some congregations out there that are absolutely obsessed with the end times. Every little detail, obsessed with trying to figure out exactly when it may happen, obsessed about the wrath of God and the judgment that is to come, the guilt that we may feel as we prepare for that judgment. Well, I think we've probably all experienced that type of church as doing great harm. Churches like that often focus on God's judgment and wrath, but not on God's mercy, God's grace, and God's love. Now, on the other hand, on the opposite end of the spectrum, there are some congregations that just don't believe in the second coming, the end times, at all. It's not going to happen. It's just superstition. Now, those are also churches that tend to deny miracles or the bodily resurrection of Jesus at Easter. And then there are some churches that are kind of in the middle. So there might be a sense in those churches that, oh, well, maybe Jesus will come again at some point, but there's really not much point in thinking about it. I think a lot of Episcopal churches kind of fall in that category. But here's the thing. We cannot pretend that there is no such thing as Christ coming again. We can't pretend there's no such thing because the Bible, the creeds, and the prayer book all say that he will. We have scripture readings like the readings that we've had today that are all about it, and there are countless others. Our creeds talk about the second coming of Jesus. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. In our prayer book, in multiple spots, also references this. For example, in our Eucharistic prayer today, we're going to say in just a few minutes, Christ has died, Christ is risen. Exactly. They know their prayer book. Goodness, goodness, good. Exactly, exactly. So what are we to do with all this then? Since we do not know the day or the hour when Christ will return, since we believe it is an important thing, but also not something that should lead us to fearfulness, I would like to suggest this morning that as a congregation, Part of our responsibility is to make ourselves ready, to help one another to be prepared. So it's a bit like helping out our neighbor who may have a storm shelter that they need to have cleared out of junk and filled with supplies, not knowing when the tornado will come. How do we make ourselves ready? How are we prepared as Christian people? Well, by helping one another to be formed as disciples of Jesus with God's help. As congregations, the way we do this is to teach and to practice a rule of life, a pattern of Christian practices. When I was in my former parish in Arizona, we had a very simple congregational rule of life, and it boiled down to pray, learn, serve, and connect. Those were the four aspects of the rule of life there. But it can incorporate a number of different things. Certainly, one of the aspects of our common rule of life in a congregation that's important is to be diligent in Sunday worship. And you all have done a great job. You're here this morning. It was a little chilly, but you got up and you made it here, got the kids ready to go. This is an incredibly important part of being Christian, to be diligent in our Sunday worship. Now, I'm a parent with three boys at home, and my wife and I know very well the struggle of trying to make it all work with youth sports and everything else. It can be really, really hard. But we need to be here together on Sundays. This is a really important thing for us to do what we are doing today, not only for our own sakes, but for the sakes of others whom we support in their journey of faith. Another important aspect of a common rule of life as Christian people is to have a pattern of prayer and a Bible study. For me, in my own spiritual life, that looks like the daily office, morning and evening prayer from our Book of Common Prayer, which also includes long sections of the Holy Scriptures. And so if I pray morning and evening prayer every day, I know that I'm having not only daily prayer, but also lots of exposure to God's Word. But some kind of pattern of prayer, of Bible study. And it's important also in our shared rule of life to have ways of being accountable to one another, to have small groups, which I know are important here, spiritual friendship, that encouragement that we can give one another to stay on the path. Certainly another aspect of a common rule of life as Christian people is love of our neighbor, and especially the vulnerable, being agents of God's mercy and love and justice in the world. We get that beautiful, beautiful quote today from Amos in our first reading, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a flowing stream," that famous passage that Dr. King loved so much. Another words, way of saying all of this is that really having a shared rule of life as Christian people looks an awful lot like our baptismal covenant that we're about to say in just a couple of minutes here. Now, I have to admit, these last couple of weeks, I've had a number of moments where I've sort of looked out at our Episcopal Church, particularly some social media things and some other things that have happened in our denomination, and sort of shook my head a little bit. I had a little quote that I posted last week. I said, "It is one thing to have a sense of humor and another to be unserious. The church's witness benefits from the former and is damaged by the latter." I think that's a piece of this as well, to have a good sense of humor in our churches. I know you all have that here. But in the most important things, to take our faith seriously. And that applies to the second coming as well. We are not meant to live in fear of Christ's return, but we are meant to take it seriously and to do what we can do with God's help to be prepared. We are meant to practice the Christian faith, supported daily by one another. Some of this is up to our clergy to teach the faith and provide opportunities to learn and to practice it. But much of this is up to each and every one of us to make it a matter of habit and of prioritization. With God's help, we are, in the words of our collect today, to purify ourselves as He is pure, that when He comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like Him in His eternal and glorious kingdom. And so, my friends, let us ask ourselves today and every day, are we prepared? Amen.